Hello, lacrosse fans, and welcome inside the Hive. I am your voice of the Minnesota Swarm and your host, Jay Kelly, and I'm joined, as always, by Alex Schimke of MNSwarm.com. Two great guests coming up on the show today, and Shane Jackson and David Earl, but let's first get to last week's showdown against the Colorado Mammoth. There was a playoff berth on the line, and the Swarm get out to a 5-1 lead and never look back in this one as they win in convincing fashion 17-12.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of last season's postseason victory. The team got off to a fast start. Again, you know, multiple guys putting up big games. Offensively, you look at Jordan McIntosh again, this week's Transition Player of the Week, put up 5 goals. Jake Kelm Crawford stayed hot, putting up 9 points. He's had at least 8 points in 6 straight games. And defensively, outstanding effort by Tyler Carlson and the energy guys like Alex Krepinsek and Mitch Blyle, David Earl, those kind of guys, really frustrating Colorado's offense. And Jake, at the end of the game, you could tell that their star players were frustrated with our defense.
Yeah, not only their star players, but their coach as well, as things got a little heated with Sully at the end of that game. And, you know, the rivalry with the Colorado Mammoth has really kind of started to develop over the last couple of years. And, you know, that largely in part due to that playoff game that we had last year. And we'll see what happens this weekend as we'll talk about that game coming up. But, you know, let's talk about Tyler Carlson a little bit and his last 3 starts, Alec. This guy has just been in the zone in between the pipes.
Yeah, I think he's playing his best lacrosse as a professional. You talk about the start he had against Colorado as Swarm built a 9-2 lead. But, you know, anytime you can shut down an offense where players like John Grant Jr. and Casey Powell and those type of players are out on the floor, it says something. But likewise, you know, our penalty kill unit has been much improved from the beginning of the year, Jake. We're killing more penalties, and, you know, that's been a key too.
Yeah, the special teams in general, as the power play has started to heat up as well. And, you know, Brock Sorensen has his first 2-goal effort of his NLL career. And you mentioned David Earl, who just keeps scooping up loose balls and clearing the ball out of his own end. And, you know, Alex Krepinsek had that task of taking on John Grant Jr. and did just an amazing job. You could tell Jr. was really frustrated all night long, and he ended up taking a high sticking penalty at the end of that game. I still have yet to hear word on what's going to happen there, whether 24 will be in the lineup on Saturday night inside the Hive. But, you know, a guy that the Swarm will have to pay a little bit more attention to is Casey Powell, who did have a pretty strong game against us, and we're going to have to find an answer for him, as I believe he had 8 points.
Yeah, he had a solid 4-goal, 4-assist effort, Jake, and really kind of was able to slip behind the defense around the crease area there, had a couple pretty goals, and, you know, he's one of the biggest names in all of lacrosse. Certainly have to pay attention to him, and you obviously know that Colorado's going to come out. You know, their playoff lines are on, or their playoff hopes are on the line this weekend. So it's a big game for both teams, obviously for the Swarm, too, to stay hot and, you know, stay in the West Division or, you know, possibly move to the East Division with a loss. A lot of playoff seedings up for stake here, Jake. I know, I think with us right now, it doesn't really matter who we play, to be honest. I think this team's clicking and, you know, it just feels good to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good feeling after that game to realize that you were in the playoffs and, you know, that last game of the regular season wasn't going to mean as much as it did to Colorado as it will to us. But, you know, we want to be an 8-8 team. We don't want to be a 7-9 team. And that's the focus and the mindset. And, you know, speaking of hot players, we can't forget about the one and only Mr. Luxurious, who got his first goal as a Minnesota Swarm player. The empty netter, and what a goal that was from Mitch Belisle, and the boys were having some fun with him after the game.
Yeah, what did we clock that one at, 100-plus there, Jake?
Yeah, right into the center of the net, the empty netter. And, you know, really, Alec, it's all about the balanced scoring attack. And, you know, when this Swarm team, we've mentioned this before, but when Minnesota is successful, it's when they're getting production out of everybody up and down that roster, whatever their role or their job may be on this team. When they play their role or do their job, that's when this team is successful.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And I would add, too, that anytime, you know, we're getting a lot of offense, too, from the transition side, it adds a whole other dynamic to our offense as, you know, teams have to be on the lookout for our guys streaking, whether it's Brock Sorensen, Jordan McIntosh, you know, Tyler Haskins didn't play this week, but he's always a threat out there. When you add that element to the offense, you know, you really don't know where the points are going to come from, and defenses really have to be on their toes.
Absolutely, and I believe our first guest is ready to join us inside the Hive, so let's get right to him. He wears number 33 for the Minnesota Swarm. His name is David Earle. And David Earle, are you ready to come inside the Hive?
Yeah, how's it going, Jimbo?
It's going great, my friend. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
You're second time inside the Hive now, and you know it's been just over a year, Dave, since we've had a talk like this. You know, just talk about where your game has come from since that time to where it is now. Are you feeling a lot more comfortable inside the boards?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I got there, I didn't obviously know much about box, didn't know much about the game, the style of play. But I was fortunate enough to come into an organization that had coaches and players who were both just willing to work with me and go the extra mile to, you know, stop a drill or explain something to me. And I think just that within itself has just been a huge help to me. And from there, I've just been taking the points that they've been, you know, giving me on the side and additional helping techniques and just working hard every day to get better and improve my game.
Well, you can definitely see the improvement, at least I can, from, you know, when you first joined the team to where you're at now, and you're looking better and better with each shift and each game you play. But let's move outside the walls here a little bit. Let's talk about life outside of lacrosse. You know, I've been hounding you for probably the better part of a month to get some swag off you for your lacrosse company, Two-Way Lacrosse. Talk about your company, Two-Way Lacrosse, and what's going on there. What's new and exciting with Two-Way Lacrosse?
Yeah, sure. And the swag is coming your way. Don't worry. We're just waiting for the shipment to come in. It comes in a little bit before camp, so that it'll be on your way and arriving on your doorstep shortly. So no worries about that. But yeah,
awesome.
Two-Way Lacrosse is going well. I mean, we're going into our second summer. We actually run stuff throughout the whole year. We do fall clinics, a bunch of clinics working with local youth programs in the spring, and then we have a bunch of summer camps. And this year we're actually running a tournament too, just a small 10-team tournament for youth programs from four different states. But, yeah, it's going well. I run it in my hometown at my school that I went to for high school, Westminster School. A lot of our events are there, so it's just a way to keep using lacrosse as kind of as a business and a way of life, and I'm enjoying every step of it.
You mentioned your high school, but you spent your college years in South End at Notre Dame. That's no secret, really. But the field lacrosse team doing very well this year. I saw on Saturday that they had a game on Sunday, but I didn't see the score from that. Who did they play, and did they get the job done on Sunday?
Yeah, they played, I believe they played Georgetown, and they won. A nice come-from-behind victory. So they're doing well. They have a lot of young players that stepped up and some veteran guys who are just a great foundation for their team and great leaders. And I think with that combination, you're really a scary team going into playoffs. So they should go far.
Yeah, they seem to be more focused on. They seem to be more of a defensive team. They don't really have those high play or high offensive guys. But you know what makes them successful on that back end? What makes them such a good defense?
I think just playing as a unit with any defense, whether it's you know in any sport, basketball or lacrosse or sports like that, if you play as a system and as a team and as a unit, it's so hard to stop. When you have a bunch of individuals out there trying to do their own thing to get noticed or do flashy checks and stuff like that for the lacrosse.
Hold on, my alarm just went off. But
yeah, when you play as a unit, it's tough to be in. And I think Notre Dame has a great defensive system there with Jerry Byrne. with all different side packages and just playing as a team with a lot of communication. So I think that goes a long way, especially in lacrosse on the defensive side. So they're doing well. They have a very rich tradition of defense. And I think offensively, I think they do – we get a bit of discredit for offensive players, but I think this year you'll see more than ever they have a lot of guys who can score and pretty scary stuff on offense. So I think they have both sides of the field this year.
Now, the big boss usually takes a few of the guys to the campus in the off season, and a trip I'm hoping to get invited on there, Mr. Arlotta, if you're listening in. I'll just throw that out there right now. But what was life at school like in Notre Dame? I know it's got a rich tradition there, but you get to be a bit of a tour guide for the boys and take them around campus. What's it like going back there?
It was great. I mean, I think what they noticed right away is that the school is really, really an athletic community. Everyone has very similar interests with sports that basically at every level. I mean, there's club tip programs, and at the varsity level, there's, I think they got basically every sport there is there. And a lot of these sports teams are one of the best in the country. So overall, it's a tight-knit community with a lot of tradition, especially through their football program, and everyone loves athletics. So it's pretty fun. Everyone goes to each other's games. I had, very good friends on the baseball team, on the hockey team, on the soccer team. So you get to know each other through sports, which is always exciting. So overall, there's just a lot of sporting events to go to. The community's tight, and the tradition, it just could not be better for football. So the fall is always the best time of the year there.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, of course, the football kind of being the pinnacle or the big prize there, and coming so close this season, being in the national championship game, but coming up a little bit short there. We don't want to dwell on that too much. So let's get back into the season here, Dave. The team on a bit of a roll here lately, very similar to last year, but not so similar. A different way that it's kind of happened this season. What do you think the difference has been over the last four or five games here for our turnaround?
Yeah, I think it's been exciting, especially when we got on this roll and really starting to click. But I think everyone's just buying into their roles and just sticking to the game plan. And when you have talent like we do on the offensive side and athleticism on the defensive side, and you have guys buying into their roles, their individual roles, and the roles as a defensive system and as an offensive system, you really start to see how dangerous this team is. And when it clicks, it's exciting being out there on the field. Everything is just clicking offensively and defensively. Everyone's communicating, and it's just a fun atmosphere. This past four games has been the most fun I've had on this team since I started. So I think a lot of guys have said that, even guys that's been around for, 3 or 4 years on this team. So it's a fun time fun and exciting time to be a Minnesota Swarm player, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We played Colorado last week. We'll play them again this week. And last week it was a chippy game, guys got into it a little bit. I almost thought for a moment that you and Sean Pollock were about to throw down. I know you played hockey as a kid. You mentioned that to me after the game. But have you ever been in a fight in hockey or lacrosse before?
No, not a fighter. Only a lover here. I probably have fists of glass, so that probably won't help too much in the fighting scene. And never been a fighter. I just like playing the game hard with clean stuff, clean hit. I've just never been interested in fighting. I'm not really a fan of it in general, so... definitely wasn't going to fight in Colorado, and don't really see myself fighting in the future unless crazy circumstances happen and just happens. But until then, stay away from that kind of stuff and just try to play the game hard and a clean way, I guess.
Well, you heard it here first, ladies. He's a lover and not a fighter. Our last regular season game coming up here against the Mammoth, April 20th, inside the Hive. It's also our family weekend for the Swarm team. Is any of the Earl clan going to make the trip to St. Paul this year?
No one's making it out, unfortunately.
both are working. They both work at a private school, so they're unable to make the trip out, which is too bad. But I know a lot of families from other players are going to make it out, so it should be should make for a fun atmosphere. And I know a lot of guys are looking forward to it.
Well, I'm sure they'll be watching the game on online, no doubt. Dave, we're through the tough stuff. We're going to get to stingers here. Your first time through it, it's rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
All right. Squirrel, Durrell, or Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Strip check or breakaway?
Oh, wow. Probably breakaway. I like breakaways. I wish I could score more, but probably breakaway.
Indoor or outdoor?
Wow. I'm going to have to go with outdoor just because I'm playing with it. Play it longer, but I like both. I like both a lot. I enjoy both.
Your best time in the 40?
Ooh, I don't even know that, actually. Definitely faster than I ran for the swarm thing, but not really sure on that one.
Sub 5 anyway, right?
What's that?
Sub 5 seconds anyway, right?
I don't know if it's faster than that.
Let's move on. Your favorite meal at the Downtowner?
Ooh, I like two things. I like the salmon. I like the top sirloin. Both great choices. Highly recommend them.
Who is the hardest guy to check in practice?
Probably Callum. Crawford is definitely tough. He's tall. He always swims you in. It's kind of annoying to guard, to be honest. He's always grabbing your stick, too, which I don't like.
Yeah, as good offensive players will do. If you could watch any sporting event live, it would be?
Ooh, after this weekend, probably the Masters. That's just coming off a weekend of Masters, so I'm all pumped up about that. That would be sweet to watch that live.
Great call. What do you listen to on the bus on the way to the Hive?
Is this pre-practice? Is this pre-game? What are we talking about?
Pre-game. Your pre-game song, your go-to.
Ooh, I change it up a lot because I tend to overplay songs and get sick of them, but anything really with techno, I play. Sometimes rap, but a lot of techno, Avicii kind of stuff.
All right. Your favorite website?
2waylacrosse.com, obviously.
Oh, man. I was hoping, Alec, we're still waiting for, I think one guy's got the right answer so far. That's mnswarm.com. All right, can you swim?
Yes.
All right,
not,
Dave, you
not,
did.
Not amazingly, but I'm fairly good.
You can stay keep above water. That's good stuff. Dave, you
did
it. I appreciate you coming inside the Hive, and I look forward to seeing you this weekend for the big game against Colorado.
All right, great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That was David Earl coming inside the Hive. And, Alec, interesting stuff there. You know, he said he's not really a guy that likes to fight, but if it happens, it happens. But, you know, interesting stuff there from Dave, you know, saying that how he's felt from first joining to the team to how he feels now is such a big jump for him, and you can really see it in his play.
Yeah, you brought up a good point there with David, and this past weekend I thought he was about to get in a fight there with Sean Pollock too. Those two were up in each other's face a little bit, and even one of the pictures on our website, it's, you know, a guy in Earl check-in, but I think just with his strong play, he gets under the skin of so many guys, and like you mentioned, he's not a fighter, but just likes to play hard, and I think you can definitely see his progress over the past year and a half since when he joined the team, Jake. You look at his scoring potential, and man, they only had him at 7 loose balls last week against Colorado. I thought he had at least 15.
Yeah, I don't think the numbers have really justified what David Earl has been doing for the Swarm over the last little bit. He just seems to be all over the field at all times, and you know, when there's a loose ball down on the field, he always seems to be the guy that comes out of there with it, and he's such an athletic player, too, that he can come away from those scrums and those packs and get away from traffic and maintain possession. And I really think that's one of his biggest assets.
Yeah, it seemed like every time there'd be a possession change, you'd see Dave kind of almost do like an S shape, dodging players and picking up a loose ball. He's just literally, like you said, he's all over the floor.
All right, and I believe our next guest is ready to come inside the Hive, and that is Shane Jackson. Shane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, thanks for taking the time to come inside the Hive. First thing I always ask my first-time guest inside the Hive, Shane, is how did you get your start playing lacrosse?
I was playing hockey when I was younger, and I just needed something to do in the summertime. So I played a year, and I actually wasn't going to play anymore, but my parents made me play some more, and thank God they did.
Yeah, well, you played your junior career in Whitby, Ontario, winning a Minto Cup there. But take us back to your youth. I know you're from a very small town in Ontario called Bowmanville. I saw your good buddy Mark Matthews, who we'll talk a little bit about later. But I saw a tweet saying there should be a statue erected of you in Bowmanville. Is you a pretty famous guy back there?
I don't know about famous at all, but yeah, Bowmanville's a small town. I started playing lacrosse when it actually just first started in Clarendon. So I was there since day one for Clarendon lacrosse, and then I worked my way up through minor, and then played junior B with the Clarendon Green Gales. Had two good years with them, and then I moved up to Whitby, and it was great to win a Minto Cup my last year with all the guys I've been playing with.
Then on to Limestone University, where you spent your college career down in the dirty south, as they say. That must have been quite the culture shock for you, going from Ontario, Canada, to the deep south in the United States. What was that like?
It's nice not playing in the wintertime. I started my college career at Onondaga Community College, so that's just like playing in Ontario. It snows every day, but then going down to the south was real nice. January, people are out in shorts and T-shirts, so it's great lacrosse weather, and I was really happy to go there.
And, of course, you made the Final Four last year with Limestone, but coming up a bit short. I hate to bring up some bad memories there, but was that a difficult thing for you to go through, or do you think it made you more motivated for success in your pro career?
I think it made me more motivated, because anytime you go to a championship and you fall short, you just think about all the hard work it takes to get there, and it makes you want it more. Saying that, it was a great experience to go through with all those guys that made lifelong friends, and being there was really good, but we came up short, and I wish we could have done better, but it was a good experience. It taught me a lot, so I'm glad I went through that experience.
Well, let's move ahead a little bit to draft day. Well, we'll go back a bit, I guess we could say, back to draft day in Toronto. And, you know, I know your family was there. I had a chance to meet them. Of course, it's family weekend here in Minnesota this weekend. Any of the Jackson family making the trip to Minnesota?
Yeah, the mom, the dad, and my sister are coming. They should be getting in here today at some point. They're making the drive down, so they got a long drive ahead of them. They stayed in Illinois last night, so they should be here soon.
That's going to be quite the drive with the weather we're experiencing here in Minnesota. But let's talk about draft day a little bit, Shane. The emotions leading up to that day, nervous, excited? Did you have an idea where you were going to end up in that draft?
I had a pretty good idea, just from what people were saying around the lacrosse community. But still, you never know. You never want to just assume you're going somewhere. You just experience what you're going through on that day. I was really nervous and excited, but sitting in that chair, and then when I finally heard my name called, I was probably the most nervous I've ever been. So, but it was a good, fun day. I was glad to have my family there with me, and it was a lot of fun, and I was really happy to get drafted by Minnesota.
You go number four overall behind Sorensen and Matisse, but the number one pick, a guy that you're very familiar with and one of your best friends, and Mark Matthews. I noticed the first time that we played the Edmonton Rush, there was some, you know, some glares across the field, a little bit of trash talking. Is there a rivalry between you two? I know you're good friends, but is it extra special going up against Mark Matthews anytime you play him?
Yeah, I mean, he is one of my great friends. I wouldn't say a rivalry, but it's just fun playing with him. That was actually the first time we've ever played against each other. So I think warm up, I threw a ball at him, And then he returned the favor by throwing a ball at me. So not really a rivalry, just it's a lot of fun playing against him. And too bad we're not on the same team, but that's lacrosse.
Yeah, you get to play on the left side with Ryan Benesch. I wouldn't call you guys similar players, but similar body types and both left-handed. Ryan, you know, widely renowned as one of the best players in the game on that left side. What's it like been playing with Benny, and what have you learned from him so far?
It's great playing with Benny. He's very easy to play with. He's a great guy off the floor, so that makes playing with him on the floor very, very easy. So we can talk about what's going right, what's going wrong, what we can do together, what we can change. And he's, I don't know, just watching him put the ball in the net and the stick skills he has. So I just really watch him and trying to take in some pointers by just watching him.
Now, I've asked a couple of guys this throughout the team on who they think the funniest guy on the team is, and the answer usually comes back Shane Jackson. I don't think we've quite seen your humorous side come out in this interview quite yet, but have you always kind of had that understated sense of humor, and where does that come from? Is your dad a funny guy, or where does that come from?
My dad's got some couple of jokes. I don't know, growing up, he's all my friends thought he was a funny guy, too. So, I don't know. I just like to have fun in the room. If I were to name funniest guy, I'd say old Speedbag Krepinsek there. not one of the... I heard he's not really a great fighter, so that's why we call him Speedbag. So, I would give that award to him.
All right. Last thing I want to ask you before we get to stingers here, Shane, is why you wear the number 32?
My first year in junior, we had a guy named Alex Henderson on our team, and he wore 32, and then it was his last year, and then I just told him I'd wear 32, and I just wore it for the rest of my years in junior, and then it was open on Minnesota, so I was lucky to get it. So yeah, that's the story to it.
So no special meaning, just one of your ex-teammates wore it, and in honor of him, you wear it.
Yep, I just told him I'd wear it, and then I have ever since. So, and he still wears it. He plays for the Peterborough Senior Lakers now, so he still wears it.
Well, the number has been working out for you pretty well. You've had a very consistent season so far, and we'll hope that continues into our final regular season game against the Mammoth. Let's talk about them a little bit and what that defense brings to the table, and maybe what the keys to success are as far as beating them.
Well, they're a big physical defense. I think they're riding a hot goalie right now. Luckily, we were able to get to him last weekend, but this weekend's a new game, so we still got to do what we do. We got to shoot well. We got to get to the middle. We got to move the ball a lot. We can't hold the ball in one stick. We got to keep our feet moving. We just got to play our game. Whenever we play our game this season, we've been able to come out on top, so hopefully we can keep that going into the playoffs, because you never want to go into the playoffs on a loss, so we want to keep this streak going here.
Absolutely. So I'm looking to get to 8-8 Saturday night inside the Hive. Shane, we got through all the tough stuff. Now it's time to have some fun with a segment we call Stingers here. It's rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
Yep, I'm ready.
Shooter or crease?
Shooter.
B.C. or Ontario?
B.C.
Dirtiest guy at Neverland?
Dirtiest? Have to give it to old Speedbag Krepinsek there.
Yeah. Craziest thing you ate while down at school?
Craziest thing I ate? Probably oysters.
Okay. Now, it can't be water, but if you could drink one thing for the rest of your life, it would be what?
Well, I'd have to go with Pepsi's.
SEMO or PILO?
I'll have to go with SEMO just because I see him every day.
Out of the four goalies, who is your favorite to shoot on?
I'd have to go Higgy because I played with him growing up. We've known each other since 6 years old, so it's always fun scoring on Higgy.
I asked Crawford this. What is your least favorite? I asked Crawford what his favorite was. I want to ask you, what is your least favorite drill in practice?
Least favorite drill? The one-on-one, the two-on-twos.
Gotcha.
My land
place you want to, a place you want to go that you've never been?
Europe, anywhere in Europe.
A TV show you just can't miss?
Have to go Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, good one. Shane, that's all I got for you. You did it. You made it through Stingers. I appreciate you coming inside the Hive. And I look forward to seeing you at practice tonight and then on Saturday for a big tilt against the Mammoth.
That's absolutely. We'll see you tonight, Jake.
That was Shane Jackson, number 32 of your Minnesota Swarm, joining us inside the Hive. Well, great stuff from both Shane Jackson and David Earle. Alec, a huge weekend coming up. The final regular season of the NOL season. It's family weekend in Minnesota. Lots of family members are going to be out with the guys. It's going to be a huge crowd inside the Hive. We had over 10,000 last game. It's going to be even bigger this game. Totally encourage everybody to get out there and check this game out. It's going to be a wild one against the Mammoth.
Yeah, looking to get at least 12,000 fans in the building, Jake. It'll be our largest crowd, like you said, in the season. You know, same kind of scenario as last year, playing Colorado at home. You know, it's a meaningful game here late in the season. You know, Minnesota's clicking at the right time. Colorado's going to be hungry. You know, you can't go out on a better note. And it doesn't look like we're going to get a first-round playoff game, Jake, but you never know. Like last year, if it's the division finals or even the championship game, and, you know, things are looking pretty good right now, and let's get loud and rowdy inside the Hive.
Yeah, the Swarm will try and get to 500 and go 8-8. The Mammoth are trying to get into the playoffs, so, you know, a lot of things are going to happen in this one, and a lot of milestones on the line, too, as Crawford can become the all-time point leader. Banesh can pass Pollock as well to move into number two. So lots of milestones to check out. We're running out of time here inside the Hive, so I want to thank Shane Jackson and David Earle for coming in. I also want to thank NLL Radio and MNSwarm.com. Don't forget to subscribe to Inside the Hive on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Minnesota Swarm or Minnesota_Swarm, Alec_Shimke, and myself at PXP, the number 4LAX. That is going to do it for us Inside the Hive. For Alec Shimke, I am Jake Elliott, and for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.